Turn to our Bibles and invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. St. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. May the Lord teach us from his word this morning. So if you're here for 9:30 service, you'll know that we started by asking, who's found their destiny? Have you found your destiny? One or two have, and one or two have still showing that. And actually, those of you who shared your experience this morning, lots of you are talking about God's faithfulness in good times and bad. We celebrate long service with Harold, and Harold could no doubt tell a lot of stories, and good times and bad times, but I would say God's faithfulness evident throughout, and a lot of us would identify with that. In 1865, the then Reverend, not yet General, William Booth, had stumbled across the meeting of one of the evangelism societies in the East End of London, in Mile End, and they'd asked him to speak, and he'd done that, and he went home and rushed to the door, and there was Catherine doing whatever Catherine would have been. I imagine Catherine was reading her Bible, because you don't get the sense that Catherine was sort of washing up or, you know. So he rushed to the door and disturbed Catherine's devotion and said, "Darling, darling, I found my destiny." And she would have said, "That's lovely. Did you forget the milk?" See, yeah, it's much funnier in this meeting than it was in the last one. Those of you who are laughing twice, that's even sadder than my joke. He found his destiny, and the rest, as they say, is history. He found his destiny not because in that moment that God has said, "I think you should start a quasi-military church." That's not what happened at all. He found his destiny because he realized that there were people to whom he could minister, people that he could reach for Jesus, people that he could preach the gospel to, and that would bear fruit. And God has said to him, "These are your people." All the stuff that came later, and much of it good, that was down the track. But his moment of destiny was realizing that God had a purpose for him. And if we were to go around and share amongst us our destinies, those of us who found them, a number of us would still be able to, we would find common thread, I think, in that. It looks differently for some of us. For some of us, it's formal church leadership. For some of us, it's banding. For some of us, it's a whole bunch of different things outside of the Salvation Army. It's the literature ministry that Ken has, and that some of you have on the streets, and it's a whole bunch of different things, but it has in common is that desire that we have people with whom we can communicate the good news about Jesus. It still says Salvation Army on all the stuff that I read. Much that we do is great, I love all the social services stuff that we get to do here. We've had a really difficult week, actually, with welfare and some of the young people that have been through our doors this week. And there are some names to pray for in the yellow book in the front. But actually, all of that stuff, it's only ever about inviting people to fullness of life in Jesus. And it has to be about that. Because there's a bunch of other people doing all of that stuff as well who don't have a faith agenda. We should not be ashamed of who we are. We want people to know when they come through these doors, we're about people finding fullness of life in Jesus. Proclaiming that unashamedly and unapologetically. Incidentally, why I think there are many blessings flowing from Thursday night was because that was the point. That was the point. Expressing and proclaiming the good news about Jesus. And we will continue to pray in these days that those people who came, who perhaps have either had faith and don't have it now, or had connections with us and don't have them now, or whatever the stories might be, that what will remain with them is not the music, but the good news about Jesus. That's what it's about. And we can say that and we can affirm that because in this text to this church at Ephesus, this multicultural, multi-faith, multi-politics, cosmopolitan place, a really important center in the Roman Empire, where Paul writes a circular to this church and others that would pass it around. And right from the beginning, there's almost a sense in which you can dig into Paul's letters and get a lot of detail about what the gospel's about, but Ephesians chapter 1 kind of gives us the 10,000-foot view, the overall picture of what's going on in the Bible. And this opening chapter, you could sit with it, I have sat with this chapter on and off for weeks now, and just found so much in it of richness that's just, some of it's very personal to me. In all the complexity about how we do church, how we make church, what we believe, don't believe, all our doctrines, all those sorts of things, here in a nutshell is what Paul is saying the gospel is about. And it begins this way, giving praise and glory to our Father, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Always, you can go through this chapter. How many times does Paul say it's about Jesus? It's about Jesus. All of these things are about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our service. It's not about what we do. It's all about Jesus. All possible about because of Jesus. And we have been blessed. We have been blessed. It says so here. So it's true. You might feel that life is difficult right now. You might feel that that faith is hard to cling on to, perhaps. There may be all sorts of circumstances in your life which are making that difficult right now. But here's the truth. We have been blessed. And if we have been blessed, then we are being blessed and we will be blessed. We have been blessed. We are a blessed people. And the constant message of Scripture is this, that God is God and He is to be worshipped regardless of your circumstances or mine. And I know today that's hard to hear and a hard reality to grapple with. But in good times and bad, God is God and He is good. He is good all the time and He is to be worshipped. We turn back our good times and we turn back our hard times and we turn them all back to Him in praise. That's what worship is about. Worship means to ascribe worth to. Whatever we're going through, we ascribe worth to our Father God. We have been blessed. Even if you don't feel like it today, that's the truth to grab hold of. And it's a mind thing as well as a heart thing. We have to just take hold of it and believe it. Why? It says in verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. So you're not just blessed, you're chosen. You have been chosen. I have been chosen. We've been chosen since before the creation of the world. Just take a moment to get your head around that. We celebrate many, many years of service, and we could add up all the years of service here, and we still are making a small dent in the history of the world. And right the way back, before anything was created, God the Father, who created everything, had you in mind. He chose you before the creation of the world. Now think about those people you're praying for, because they're included too. He chose them. The church has got itself into a big tangle over predestination doctrines. We're not going to have that conversation here. I can have that conversation with you. It's simple. We are all predestined for life with Jesus. We are made for life with Jesus. We are made to be in communion with God. We are made to be in relationship with God. And right the way back, before anything was made, He had you in mind to serve Him. Everyone's predestined. The issue is your choice and my choice. Will we accept? What will we accept? The grace that's offered. But you've been blessed. You've been chosen before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And now we have our problem. Because some of us just think holiness is for other people. We're a holiness movement as well, aren't we? I think we are. We've had to rediscover it a little bit along the way. When you think of holy people, I don't know who you think of. You might think of sort of figures like Mother Teresa or, I don't know, you have your people. We're all called to be holy. Holiness is about being set apart to serve God, about being set apart to love Him, being about set apart for His purposes to be made possible in us. The privilege of all believers, says Article 10, to be holy, sanctified, set apart. Every aspect of our being. I call this talk this morning Holiness Inheritance, because that's what we were being offered. That kind of life with God, that kind of quality of life with God that He invites us into. And the problem with holiness is that some of us are trying too hard. Because you can't be holy except by receiving a gift of grace. You can't earn it. You can't make it happen. You can't be more holy by coming to more meetings, although we'd like you to. You can't be more holy by going to more Bible studies, although we'd like you to. You can't be more holy by coming to more social events at church, although we'd like you to. You can't be more loved by God than you are already. And I look upon all these years of service in all sorts of places, and I still think we need to be reminded about that this morning. You can't earn any more of God's love than you've already got. Neither can you squander what you've already been given. Nothing you do will change how much God feels about you. Why would it? We're here for a brief blip of life, however long we get, but you and I were in God's thinking right before the beginning of creation. So why do we think we would spoil that here? He's loved you since the very beginning, and He promises to love you right to the very end. Predestined to be in His family. The question is whether we accept it or not. Chosen, blessed, chosen. I've forgotten the other one. Doesn't matter. It really comes down to this. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, that's Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. He lavished on us. Lavishing is not just a trickle or a gentle sprinkling of something, is it? Lavishing is just an outpouring, just gushing water. You can think of water being poured on the ground, just loads and loads of it. The waste would horrify us. But that's what God does. He just lavishes His grace upon us. Lavishes, just constant flowing of grace towards us each. And it's simple this morning. I'm not going to ask you to do anything other than just stand in the rain under God's grace this morning. I think sometimes we need to do that. We're very busy. We're active. We've got lots of things to think about. We're concerned about people. We're anxious for loved ones. Of course we are. But just in these moments, just know that you are loved. Predestined. You have a destiny. A destiny that is about living for Jesus. And the invitation just to stand under the rain of his grace this morning. Just allow his lavishing grace to flow over you, in you, through you. And then take some of it with you. Allow others to encounter it too. Stand under the rain of God's blessing this morning. And then give it away.